Welcome to the second season of the Mayor's News Podcast, hosted by Mayor
and Yitzhak, the best co-host.
As always, we say Mayor's Memes is more than a status, it's an experience. So another part of the awesome Mayor's News experience is this awesome podcast. On this podcast, we dive into the Jewish social media world to interview some of its influencers and uncover a little bit about their personalities. The Mayor's News Podcast for the second season, we are privileged to be joined by David Mushefkin. David is an educator and writer. His primary job is at NCSY as the director of education. He also teaches at YU Sci Sims in their morning program. He writes for Tablet Now on Dafyomi, and recently this past year has began a media initiative called 1840. How are you, David?
I'm great. I love that you chuckle while you speak. It's very charming. You're both extraordinarily charming individuals.
So just to clarify,
have you on, David?
We had a little beef last time. We had someone who we thought was a rabbi, and we weren't sure if Yaakov Klein went by rabbi or not. So we had to specify with David. So because I remember you complaining on one of the podcasts.
I asked to be called David instead of rabbi.
Yeah. I remember you referring at a different place where you said that you were upset that meaningful people didn't call you rabbi.
No, I was teasing. I think I asked them the same. I mean, I may have asked you to call me rabbi if I realized how recently you were both bar mitzvahed, but I didn't know that at the time, but that's fine. I prefer it, and it's a joy to be here.
Great.
It's a joy to have you.
So we often start with an icebreaker to try to get the ball rolling. So I thought this would be a good icebreaker.
It's not a good icebreaker, by the way, but keep going.
Not a good icebreaker.
Yeah, I may have thought of it. I'm asking. It wasn't the best, but
it wasn't the best. So, if you give a lecture to one person from all time, who would it be?
To one person or one group?
One person.
No, it's up for interpretation.
I didn't realize it was like one to give a lecture to or hear one from.
Two.
To give a lecture to? I don't want to lecture anybody. I thought I don't like giving lectures. I don't want to lecture anybody. If from any point in time, I always like the present. I like the moment. I like the people in front of me. And if I had to go to any point in history and talk to any people in all of history, the person who I want to talk to is the person in front of me. So right now, it is you, my friend. So get ready to be lectured.
Big schuss.
Very nice.
Huge schuss. Huge.
Okay, very nice. So now that the crowd sees a little bit of my personality, as we always enjoy the wholesome answers, probably shouldn't have gotten a good one from Gavi K, but sadly we didn't have any offers for our other icebreaker. So tell us a little bit about your personal life, where you're from, what you've done.
You introduced me. You had the whole bio. Meaning, you already did that. I work at NCSY. I write for Tablet. I teach at Yeshiva University. You missed that. I teach at Sci Sims. And I also teach morning courses in Yeshiva University. If you come to YU, you'll hear me there. And I just published a book. That's why we're here. I just published a book called Top 5 Lists of Jewish Character Characters. A joyous and joyful book that you should buy in your local Jewish bookstores.
I'm definitely a big fan of the column. Mayor, I don't know why that was maybe the icker you missed out on when you didn't mention
that's true.
You gotta buy a copy of the book. I recommend buying two copies. Keep one in the house more as a skula and another one that you can read. But it's a fantastic book. That's already getting praise from Gedolei Yisrael. Already written in.
Right. And that's not your only book, correct?
No, it's my fourth book. My first book was a little Hebrew sefer called Baroges Rachid Tizkar that you can get for free on HebrewBooks.org. My second book was called Just One, a Haggadah I wrote for NCSY. My third book, and probably my most popular book, the best, you know, I sold the most copies of it, is called Synagogue, S-I-N, Sin and Failure in Jewish Thought. That did quite nicely through Amazon and also a little bit in bookstores. The publisher had no idea how to get into Jewish bookstores. It wasn't like a Frum publisher, but they're wonderful. And now my fourth book, with God's help, is Top 5 Lists of Jewish Characters and Character.
Yeah, definitely the most, I don't know, I would say probably the most entertaining seen of them. Not that.
No, this is the most entertaining book I've read. Of those four ranked in terms of entertainment, I would put this at number one. Then Synagogue. Then Just One. And then my Hebrew Sefer, Baruch Ezra Tizkor, is not that entertaining. Again, it's entertaining for a very small audience, but it's not entertaining.
When I read the top fives, I always get the, I don't know if you know what this is, there's a YouTube channel called Dude Perfect, if anyone out there knows what that is. Yeah?
Of course.
So they make those stereotype videos. You know of the stereotype videos?
Yeah, I think so. Rings the bell. I want somebody to make videos out of my book. Do TikToks, do whatever it takes. Do top five videos based on my book. I would love that. It would be a joy.
Yeah, so that's definitely the vibe that I always get when I read those
big time. Top five.
Also, right. There's another book actually. There's another thing that the top fives remind me of, which is this book that we have in my house. It's called The Book of Awesome.
Oh, I know what that book is.
You know?
Yeah, oh, I wow. appreciate that.
On all the bases.
I was worried about that comparison. I was worried you were going to plug another book that came out, which I would have immediately left this recording. But so long as you're not plugging another recent book, The Book of Awesome is a wonderful book. And it's an honor to even be in the same sentence as that book.
So I want to ask you on that. So The Book of Awesome, for those that are not holding, it basically goes through like the small pleasures of life and the like taking enjoyment out of the small things. I wanted to ask you, I think you'd be a pretty qualified person to answer this. I made my own list, but I want to hear what you have to say. What's like the Book of Awesome for Judaism? Like the small pleasures that you get being a Yid, like day-to-day life.
And I can't answer my book. I think in a way that's kind of how I designed my book about those small pleasures. What is a Jewish book about those small?
No, what are these small pleasures? If you had to, let's say you're making a top five.
Oh, what are those small pleasures?
Yeah.
When there's a, you're not going to like my number one. I mean, when I close my eyes and really think, I love a day for whatever reason. Let's say I don't go to Minyan and I'm putting on talus and tefillin in my own home. It's like a little bit, it's not like late, but it's like a little bit late. It's like 9 o'clock, 9:15. And I have a coffee in talus and tefillin. For me is very geschmack. I love that. I love coming home Shabbos morning. I wake up very early Shabbos morning and coming home after davening betzibor and giving a shir, which I haven't done since March, obviously. And then having a little kiddush in my house with my family. There's no better moment than that in my whole life. Could we do another one? Oh, and when everybody goes to sleep in my house, everybody's asleep except me, and I go downstairs and I pour myself some good half and half Arizona, and like you're parched because like it's the end of a long day, and I blitz through Dafyomi, which is what I do at the very, very end of the day. I love those moments. I love those quiet, intimate moments that involve a beverage and also something uplifting.
Wow. So we saw a little bit about the writing.
Wait, sorry to cut you off, Mayor, but I wanted to point out I have a very special relationship with half and half Arizona. I don't drink it that much. We have it in my house a lot, but I don't drink it that much. I designated it specifically for breaking fast.
Yes!
I don't
know why. Yes, it's wow. Interesting. The Gemara brings down that half and half Arizona is shishim of Olam Haba. It's a little bit of that taste of the Mayanos of Gan Eden. It's so delicious, and it really quenches that thirst. And there's no greater pain than being parched. I mean, that's actually a machshava. There's nothing worse than being parched and quenching that thirst with some nice half and half. Obviously, the zero calorie one for men of my size. I absolutely I love it. And a good gulps, it's the best.
I want to correct you. I think there might be something worse than being parched. Respectfully, I would think that a little bit worse is being parched and then drinking some hot water that was sitting out in the sun all day. Might be even worse, but
that's not good either.
Okay, hey, go on with the program.
So yeah, it's go on with the program. So well, the reason why we interview different people is because they're in the Jewish social media. We've actually been expanding. You see, we have David Beshevkin. How do you get to, you become a big part of the Jewish Twitter world, the J Twitter world? How do you get there? How do you get a big following? How do you get spread
by not there? Thinking about it? I buy in much less than people think to this whole from Twitter world. I have a skill, which is that I am an, let's call it, an above average writer. I write well. So I'm useless on Instagram. I don't have any Instagram followers because I don't take nice pictures. I don't have any followers on Facebook because I don't write long, winding letters to my wife on her anniversary saying, hey, I just want to say to my best friend in the world, I don't do that either. So what's left for me? The only thing left for me is Twitter. I know how to write concise, sharp ideas that are sometimes funny, sometimes uplifting, sometimes serious, sometimes provocative. But I just share ideas. That's why it's Dahainu D-Bash Ideas. That's why we call it that.
Interesting. I was actually thinking about asking about that. Where the idea?
Because when I joined social media, which a friend of mine told me to do it, I was nervous that I would, at that time, the stereotype of Twitter, people be like, what? I don't need to know if you're eating an avocado melt. Who cares what you're having for dinner? And I agreed with that. So literally when, and I know where I was standing when I made my Twitter account, I wanted to distinguish myself from people who are sharing pictures of their lunch or writing about what they had for dinner. I said, I don't want to share. I don't care about sharing that stuff at all. I want to share ideas. So I literally gave myself the handle D-Bash Ideas. I did D-Bash because I did D instead of David or David because some people call me David, some call me David. So I just wrote D and I wrote Bash instead of Beshevkin because nobody could pronounce Beshevkin. It's a tongue twister. So I wrote D-Bash and I said, what's this about? It's about ideas. But now people call me D-Bashidas. So it didn't really work. I didn't really get the picture. But okay, I tried.
So do you, just to ask you a question I had, I came up with actually about an hour ago. I saw that one of the other mainstays in Jewish Twitter, Amy Humor, when it asked, he said he thinks they're out of Jewish quotes, out of Jewish jokes. I want to ask, how do you come up with them, and how are they so abundant?
You're never out of jokes. That's usually something you write when you're feeling anxious and you have some self-imposed pressure to make jokes. You're never out of jokes. How do I make jokes? I watch a lot of humor. I read a lot about humor. I know how humor works. My top five column, to go back to my book, because let's be honest, why are we here? We're here to push product, yes or no. And you're going to make this your WhatsApp status, my book, for a little bit? You'll plug it? You got to plug
totally,
it.
Totally, totally.
That's
totally
a must, obviously. And I'll send you that picture. But to me, if you look at my jokes and the way I structure jokes like little skits. Meaning I don't do knock-knock jokes. I don't do like, why did the frum chicken cross the road? I write mini skits. I could do a skit based on a picture. I could do a skit based on just text or dialogue, but I know how to write skits. That's a talent that you develop, that you can, by reading books on humor, which, you know, we could recommend and talk about, you learn how to write script. There's a logic to it, an internal game to how to write a script. You probably didn't want a serious answer to that silly question, but I just gave you a serious answer and you'll deal with it.
We say in every episode that we're meeting with like these people who are a lot of times like the people that we've had on are like entertainers, not excluding Rabbi Yaakov Klein, but they're all like they're all like in WhatsApp statuses and they're making jokes
can
and they're all like.
Can I just be honest? I have never ever seen a WhatsApp status. I'm not even sure where they are. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, you gotta be again, as I've mentioned many times in the first season, it's more of like a. How do you say it? It's like a dark web in the sense that like you can't reach it unless you look.
Once you get
it
in,
it sounds like yeshivish
in.
Reddit. It sounds like Reddit for the yeshivish community is what
it's kind of it is.
That's a very valid description.
That's a good call. So now,
about what you're saying about humor, something that I noticed in your humor specifically, and then I kind of actually started to see it, maybe like humor in general, I don't know what you think about this, is that humor, kind of your humor specifically, is about relating with the audience, meaning you don't find the like the whole like hop of a meme is like when you get it, you're like, this happens to me, you know? Like, I don't know if that is that like a general like principle that you think like in humor in general, or
good humor is very particular and niche, but also universal. Great humor talks about a very specific situation in a very specific context, but there are parallels universally in every community. Good humor is sharp and very, the great comedians, I don't know, Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, Jerry Seinfeld, they talk about very specific niche situations, but there's a universalism in particularity that people can all jump in on. And my thing with humor is I like to elevate. I don't like making fun of people. I don't like putting down people. I don't like making fun of holy things. I like making people smile at themselves. That's the best thing in the world. So that is definitely a joy of what I get to do.
Right. So if we could kind of maybe move over to our official last question, usually asked by Yitzchak. Yitzchak, go ahead, even though he never really answered it on his own. But
true. In my episode, the first episode, we made the question. I didn't have a good answer because I used and I didn't prepare well. But what would you say is your favorite quote? Could be meaningful, could be funny. Any?
The first thing that came to mind when you sent me this question was the first words of Reb Tzadok that I ever heard. I've written about this in the column. When I was in 12th grade in high school in Mishmar, I signed up for a Mishmar with Reb Moshe Weinberger. It was the first time that I heard him speak in person, and it was a Mishmar about Reb Tzadok, who was a Hasidic leader, a student of the Me'ah Shiloach, of the Ishbitzer, who lived from 1823 to 1900. And he's animated everything that I do, my humor, my books, everything in my life comes back to Reb Tzadok. And the first words of Reb Tzadok that I heard from Reb Moshe Weinberger, and again, I've written about this, so it's not a surprise, is from his first Sefer he wrote after he became Hasidish. He wasn't raised Hasidish, but after he became Hasidish, he wrote a book called Tzidkas HaTzadik, a Sefer, and in the 154th chapter, it opens up, Kashem Cha'adim Tzarech Lahamin Ba'Kadosh Baruch Hu Kach Tzarech Acher Kach Lahamin Ba'atzmo. Just as a person has to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in God, so too afterwards, they need to believe in themselves. And I think more than a inspiring, catchy quote, to me, I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in myself, in my own creativity, in my own output, in my own family, in my own relationships. It's not selfish. It's not narcissistic. It's seeing the wonders and the way God speaks through people, the way God speaks through humanity. And I think that's what Reb Tzadok is saying there, that just as you have to have emuna that there's a God of the world, you need to have an emuna that there's something residing in you to share with the rest of the world. And that has animated my entire existence. And that probably is my favorite quote.
Wow, very nice.
It's a little bit, I feel like, some of you saying at the end is it comes with the responsibility a little bit, that if you see yourself as your personal ability to connect with Hashem, then it comes with the responsibility of like kind of like accomplishing something.
Yeah, and not just a responsibility. It's a responsibility not just for myself to accomplish. It's a responsibility for me to see other people's emunas atzmo and to cultivate other people's emunas atzmo and to approach other people and myself with graciousness. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not apparent in the world because something bad happens or something evil happens, you don't throw your arms up in the air and say, God, abandon the world. I hate, you know, or this and that. It's frustrating. It's difficult. But what happens when you don't see God in yourself or you don't see God in other people? Let's say you're not doing such great things in your life at a certain moment. Let's say somebody else in your life isn't treating you the way you want to be treated. Do you still have the capacity to look at that person the same way you would look at the world when something bad happens? Which is, you don't look at them as God abandoned them or that they're empty of anything with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in it. you look at that there's a lapse, there's a hiddenness, there's a Hester Punim in the world. There could be Hester Punim in your own life and with other relationships and friendships and people in your life. And that analogy has animated the way that I look at the world, the way I look at my friends and family, and ultimately the way I look at myself.
Uh-huh. Wow, very nice. And it also it somewhat translates into how you see it a lot in your humor, that you're able to give over to other people and to
big time
help others.
Big time.
The facial expression there.
That's not going to go on the podcast, but yes, that there was a momentary lapse in facial expression, but it's a facial expression of love and joyfulness to be sitting here on the Mayor's Memes podcast. Am I allowed to call it that?
Yeah, yes, totally.
This was a lifelong goal for me. I've been emailing you for months to get on here, and you guys are very difficult to get totally. That slot. And to have this slot, to be here with you tonight is really a pleasure and privilege. And to be here right before Purim, right before we're plugging the book, this is just good people, good ideas, good people getting together. And it's really such a pleasure to be here with you.
Okay, thank you so much for joining this interview on the Mayor's Memes podcast. Tune in next time for the next podcast, hopefully next week. If you'd like to join the status or have a recommendation for our guest or have any other comments, WhatsApp 315-504-5101 or email mayorsmemes@gmail.com. And also, don't forget to buy David's book, Five Top Five. Enjoy.